This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
One of our priorities at the Vineyard here is training and equipping. Training and equipping. It's one of our priorities. It's one of the things we invest a lot of time in. In fact, for those of you who love to think and train in the sense of grappling with difficult questions, our Thinking Aloud group starts again, I think, in January. Is that right? Yeah. So look out for that. But also for those of you who want training of a leadership type, we have what we call the Hub. And across the Vineyard in the UK, and we run one in our Yorkshire area, which Ian and Hannah run. So tell us, who's this for, and what does it look like?
Thank you. We don't run it yet. We're nearly there. From January, we will be running it over in Bradford. And it's for anyone, it's a pioneering leadership course. It's for anyone who is on staff of a church and also in a senior leadership role, or if you feel that you're called to be in that someday in the future. If you're on staff, then it's something that Vineyard really want you to go on. It involves and church planting as well. If you're thinking of church planting, Ian and I have just completed it from this last 3 years. They've condensed it into 2 years, and it involves Monday evenings once a month, where you can come and you're given this most amazing input. They've rejigged it slightly recently to condense it into 2 years, and it's going to be lots of you will have heard of flipped classrooms. It's about more discussion, input, and you're given some course material just before the evening for you to look at and to start to get to think about what the topic is about. So when you come on the Monday night, it's not just like, whoa, this is all new and I've just walked in from putting the kids to bed and work and all that. It's already, you're already in your brain. And it looks really interesting, and it's a really good different way of doing it. And what was the other question? It doesn't cost anything other than your time. If you want to sign up to it, because there's been a lot of change recently, they're still sort of figuring out new sign-ups for January, but come and talk to me after and we'll make sure that you can get signed up.
Thank you, Hannah. Right, I'd like you to give, Daniel, come up. I'd like you to give a warm Leeds Vineyard welcome to my Greek tutor. Daniel is based in Sheffield. He's left his family behind for the day to come and minister to us. He's a theologian and a pastor, and he is my Greek tutor, and he'll explain all that in a moment. And I've asked him to, as part of this priority of training and equipping, to talk to us about one of my favorite subjects, which is theology, healthy theology. Let me pray for you, and you're very welcome. It's nice to see you standing here.
Thank you.
Lecturing them rather than me for a change. Lord Jesus, thank you for Daniel and for the gifts you've given him and the understanding you've given him. And I ask you to anoint him this morning with a message which, although it may seem not for everybody, will actually put in foundations in the life of this church and in our thinking and in our worship of you. I ask you to bless him this morning. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, David. It's good to be here. I'm an American. I don't know if you mentioned that or not, but you probably picked that up after my second sentence. Wonderful to be here today. I've lived in Sheffield for 12 and a half years now. We moved here to plant a church, and we handed that church over about eight and a half years ago now. It's doing well, and I'm focusing more on training and teaching and theology now, which is something that I really, really love. And, you know, David is one of my standout Greek students, I have to say. Have you noticed any more Greek in his sermons? No. Well, you need to hold him accountable. I know what you really want to hear is a lot of Greek words, right, in his sermons. So, you know, make sure he's working that into the way that he preaches to you. It's been great to get to know him, and I'm excited about the connection and partnership that's developing with your church. And one of the things that I do is I lead something called the Leeds School of Theology. Did you get one of these when you walked in? Possibly. It's a flyer about that. And we've been going for 4 years now. We meet at St. George's Center, just near here. And it's a wonderful chance to go deeper in God, deeper in Scripture, deeper in theology. And we have a little video that just kind of captures a bit of what the school is all about. And I thought rather than me telling you too much about it, we could just watch that together. So if we're ready for that, let's play that. Oh, the lights are going to go down too. Here at the Leeds School of Theology, we offer theological training for everyone. Since 2013, we have designed and built the school to make it accessible and affordable while still maintaining high-quality academic content. The school aims to equip, empower, and inspire students to think theologically and to read, study, and apply God's Word in a deeper and more transformative way.
So as someone involved in local church leadership in Leeds, I think Leeds School of Theology has been really useful to us in terms of helping people learn how to think about the Bible. For some of our younger leaders, it's been a great training ground for them to help them study. I think for me, it's been really useful to step outside of our kind of movement or denomination to see how other people interpret the Bible.
I think what I've loved about the School of Theology is it's just given me permission to wrestle with difficult truths. It hasn't rushed me through the process of working out what I think. If it's taken me months, that's been okay. And that's been really, really helpful and very freeing.
Another thing that I've noticed has been how much of a resource it is. I've got so many notes and just like the resources that you just get from each session and all the kind of knowledge that everyone brings. I know it's just something I can come back to for years to come.
It's God that's growing his church. And we've seen that throughout history, throughout the people we've studied. And I've been really encouraged by that.
We honestly believe that a robust, God-honoring theology is one of the most transforming and empowering things anyone can gain in this life. Our places for next year's intake are limited, and we would love for you to join us in going deeper in God's Word through this unique opportunity. Don't miss out. Sign up online today. All right, great. So that gave you a little flavor for. Oh, there you are, Leeds Vineyard. You're on there, partnering with us. This church is being really generous and offering a 50% subsidy on the cost of the school for anyone who's a part of the church. If you'd like to do it, this church wants to invest in you in that way. And so if you're interested in this, feel free to chat to me more. I'll be around afterwards. You can sign up online. Last year, the sign-ups filled up completely, and we actually had to turn people away towards the end of the year. So if you are interested, I'd encourage you to sign up sooner rather than later. When you go online, there's an option for a subsidized registration. You pick that one. It's £175, 50% covered by your church. And there is an open day, is the last thing I want to say about that. There's an open day and two Saturdays, but that is now full. So we've opened up our 11th of November session. And if you're interested in that, you can come along for free, experience it, get a taste for what it's all about. We'll feed you breakfast. You sign up for that online just so that we can have numbers, but you'd be very welcome to come. I really hope that there's a good group joining us from this church this coming year to be a part of the next cohort, which starts in January. And again, if you want to chat with me or ask me any questions about it, I'd love to do that. Okay, so this morning, David has asked me to talk about what is healthy theology? How's that for a broad, open-ended topic? This is going to be a slightly different message, perhaps. I thought about, can I pick one passage and preach from that? But instead, I've decided to go for top 10 characteristics of healthy theology. And as we go through them today, I want you to think about your own life. I want you to think about where you are, and I want you to be, and I can tell you're good at this in this church. I want you to be asking, Holy Spirit, what are you highlighting to me? What are you pointing out to me that I can respond to, that I maybe I'm being challenged with, that's a strength or that's a weakness, that's a place that I can respond to. And at the end of our time, we'll have a little time to pray and to respond. Just quickly to define what is theology. I mean, it's a word that's made up of two words, theos and logos. And it basically means words or study about God. And so I've got news for you. You may think, oh, I'm not really into all that theology. If you're a Christian and you have thoughts about God, you're a theologian, okay? You are a theologian because you have thoughts and ideas and words about God. And a lot of us, our theology is just very unthought through, or it's very kind of subconscious. And part of the idea here is to grow in thinking about our beliefs, in thinking about our theology, and in strengthening it. A slightly more formal working definition would be, theology is the systematic study of the ideas of Christianity, including their sources, various sources of theology, historical development. One of the things we do a lot in the school is we talk about church history. We talk about where these ideas came from. Entering into the dialogue and the conversation is really important. Their mutual relationships. So it's amazing as you study and learn about theology, you learn how everything connects together. And finally, their application to life. And it's really important to say, theology that's healthy has got to be lived out. I'll come back to that later. It's got to be applied in life. And that's one of the other reasons why it's so important. Because literally everything about the way we see God, the way we see ourselves, the way we think about and see others, the way that we see life around us, all of that is shaped by our theology. Our faiths and our beliefs affect the practice of our faith profoundly. And like I said, maybe often in ways that we're not even fully conscious of. And how you respond to a particular situation in life, to something that's happening, your theology has a lot to do with that. So the kind of theology that I'm talking about today is practical, and it applies really to all of our lives, even if you think of yourself not as academic or not as theological. If you are a follower of Jesus, you're a theologian in the sense that I want to talk about today. So this is for you. I wanted to start by telling you a story, which I think illustrates this well. It's a true story. In the autumn of 1992, Michael Plant, who was a popular yachtsman, set out on a solo yacht crossing of the North Atlantic from the U.S. to France. And he had built this brand new, beautiful yacht named the Coyote, for some reason. It was state-of-the-art in every way. It was filled with incredible creature comforts that were the epitome of modern sailing. He had purchased the best rescue equipment. He had done this before. He was a very experienced guy, very successful. He had the best of expertise, experience, and equipment, and everyone knew nothing could go wrong, right? But something did go wrong, and 11 days into his voyage, radio contact was lost. And when this radio silence persisted for several days, his friends and family started getting nervous, and they ended up sending out search parties and helicopters and boats to try to find the Coyote and to find Michael Plant. And eventually, they came across the Coyote floating upside down 450 miles northwest of the Azores Islands, but with no sign of Plant. When the yacht was lifted from the water, the safety raft that probably should have been to save his life was still in its normal place, obviously unused. And nobody to this day has figured out what actually happened to him. As the investigation unfolded, it became obvious that he had not actually taken the necessary precautions. He hadn't even registered the signal of his new state-of-the-art radio with the Coast Guard, so they couldn't even trace his distress code to figure out where he was. But the strangest thing of all is that the Coyote was upside down. Sailboats don't capsize. Do we have any sailors here? Anybody experienced with boats? Okay, great, one person. Sailors say that a sailboat is the most natural of all sailing vessels, and even if the waves and the winds and the storms get really heavy, a sailboat has a way of righting itself. And the golden rule of a good sailboat, and I'm certainly not an expert at this, is that there's got to be more weight under the surface than there is above the surface. That's what keeps a sailboat steady. What is that called? Do you know what that weight is called? A center of gravity. There's a technical boating word for it. A ballast. Anybody heard of that before? Here's the crazy thing. When they found this boat, there was no ballast in the bottom of it. It in the designs, it had an 8,000 pounds, so like a 4-ton weight welded to the bottom of the boat, but it wasn't there. And so when the storms came, this boat flipped. It feels to me like a modern-day parable in a lot of ways, because the truth is, when storms and waves, and it was interesting, even the prophetic word that came earlier today about waves and wind and all of that, I thought that was really interesting. When that happens, what is below the waterline gets exposed. It's that stuff that nobody can see, right? But is there substance and depth and weight that will hold us when life gets crazy? And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, of course, in one sense, that is all about our relationship with God. But it's also about a substantial theology, a substantial system of beliefs that's been lived out and practiced that can hold us when life gets crazy. It's something nobody else can fully see. A lot of it is in the secret place. But that soul weight, that soul substance of a history with God, a history in God's word, a history of healthy theology, is something that stabilizes our lives, especially when the storms and the winds and the waves come. And I just want to say to you that I think it's one of the best investments you can make to strengthen yourself theologically. So I want to give you now, in light of that story, 10 pretty quick thoughts, I hope, about what good theology is, or how to have weight below the surface, what this means to grow in. And some of these I'm just going to mention, some of these I'm going to talk about just a little bit more. First thought, the fundamental work of theology is to understand the Bible and to apply it to the needs of people. All the other things, and I'm an academic, I have a PhD in biblical studies, I love to read big, you know, academic theological things, I love getting lost and all of that, but at the end of the day, for me, if it doesn't come down to helping transform people's lives, it's not actually worth that much. Theology ultimately isn't about ideas, but about transformation. And I love, we are familiar with this passage in 2 Timothy 3. It says, it talks about scripture. It says all scripture is God-breathed. That Greek word is theonoustos, breathed by the Spirit, wind spirit. And is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I love that idea, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's what Scripture is about, and that's what theology should be about. And I don't know, I hope that sounds good to you, to be thoroughly equipped in the things that God has called you to be and to do. The second thought about healthy theology is it must be done in the context of an intimate personal relationship with God. Apart from this devotional life, this relationship, theology just becomes empty theories and concepts. And there's this really interesting verse in John 5 where Jesus says, "You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. I love how Jesus makes it really personal there. I don't know if you've ever seen that before. He says it's very possible to study the scriptures diligently, deeply, intensely, and yet to totally miss him along the way. Isn't that interesting? I think it's one of the biggest traps we can fall in, because there's a world of difference between knowing about God and knowing God, right? Theology is about knowing God in a personal way, not just learning big words about him. And it's sad, I think many people have chosen the pursuit of knowledge about God as a substitute for real relationship with God. The scriptures are meant to point us to him and not to enable us to understand everything about him. And so for me, healthy theology leads to worship. Healthy theology leads to intimacy. Healthy theology leads to a place where I go, wow, you are amazing. And I want to know you more personally. We've got to remember that the scriptures testify about him. And really, at the end of the day, it's about coming to him in relationship. Third point, kind of similar, healthy theology leads to love. When I was growing up in a youth group in church, and maybe this is a very painfully American thing to do, my youth leader would always say, knowledge puffs up, but love, and then all the guys would flex our muscles, builds up. That was the version of that that we memorized. Maybe you'll remember that. Love, this says edifies. Love builds us up. Theology leads to love, and love has got to be the goal. There's a little quote that I really like that says, if your theology doesn't lead you to love others around you more, you need to question your theology. And it's really worth asking this question. Am I more loving this year than I was last year? Am I actually growing in love? And if you're really brave, you could ask your spouse that question, or your kids, or your parents, someone who knows you really well. Am I a more loving person? Is my theology leading me to love? And again, if it's not, maybe we need to question it. Healthy theology leads to love. Fourth idea, healthy theology embraces and celebrates mystery. Now, this is something some people are really uncomfortable with and some people really appreciate. God has chosen to disclose himself to us. He's chosen to reveal himself to us through his word, through Jesus. But this will never be the fullness. There will always be mystery. We see in part, you know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Now I see only a reflection as in a mirror. And just by the way, mirrors in his day were not quite like mirrors today. They were blurry. They were very partial vision. There is always going to be mystery. And honestly, people who understand it all, maybe you know somebody like this, who have answers to every question, who everything just makes sense to them. I'm a little nervous about people like that. I don't get that. I don't tend to trust them, because I think actually, if we're really getting to know the God who created us and the universe, there's always going to be mystery. I like the fact that we can't fully comprehend him, that we can't fully get our creator. That's how it should be, right? And part of theology is embracing and celebrating the mystery of a God who is so much greater, so much larger, so much bigger than anything we could comprehend or imagine. And there's a tension because we do our best to understand, and yet we know we never will. And that's just part of the joy of the journey, the theological journey of growth. And that means living with contradictions at times. That means living with tensions. But it's healthy and it's good. And if you're the kind of person that always has to have, you know, everything just worked out just perfectly, learning theology will challenge that for you. But hopefully, again, in a way that leads you to worship and that leads you to intimacy with Him. And that kind of leads to the fifth thought, which is healthy theology involves wrestling and struggling with things and living with tensions that are not easily explained away. There is wrestling involved. I was watching that video, and I don't know if you remember Abby, one of the students in our third year this year, talked about it gave her a safe space to wrestle and not to have to rush figuring things out. There are complexities to theology, and there are complexities to life. I love the passage where the boy's father exclaims, "I do believe! Help me with my unbelief!" What an honest, I can really relate to that a lot of the time. There's a wrestling that happens as our theology deepens, as our relationship with God deepens. We declare belief and we ask God to help us with our unbelief. We are honest about our questions and our wrestling and our grappling and our challenges. And guys, I think that avoiding doubt actually causes us to miss a lot in life. There's a lot of maturity that God has for us in looking at things from a new perspective. Our faith is developed in the fire of question and uncertainty. And we need safe spaces where we can ask the big, hard questions and just say, "I don't understand this, and this is really hard for me." Maybe it's something going on in our lives personally at the moment, or maybe it's just a kind of philosophical or a theological question. But I just want to give, I hope this is okay, David, I just want to give you permission to have doubts, but to go to God with your doubt. Remember, it's about going to a person. It's about going to Jesus rather than running away from Him in the place of wrestling and doubt. And I hope and pray that this church will be a safe permission-giving place for that to happen as we go through life. We need to embrace the questions. We need to live them. We need to celebrate them. And you know, sometimes God brings us out into the answers, and sometimes He just brings us to Himself, and that's enough, because He is enough. But remember what Jesus said. He said, "Come to me. Don't refuse to come to me, even in the wrestling." There's an uncertainty that's part of theology, but it can be a really good thing. And personally, I have learned to celebrate that and see it as a valuable and transforming thing that leads us to an encounter with a living God, which is wonderful. So we wrestle. Some of you are like, "Yeah, I love that." Some of you are like, "Oh, this is uncomfortable." Well, it's part of the process, and it can be so good and so freeing. Sixth thought, theology is practical at the core. It's got to be put into actual practice in the lives of those of us who live it. We've already touched on this, but it's just worth saying, ideas that are not lived out aren't worth much. Yep, James chapter 2. I mean, these verses are incredibly challenging. James says, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds." And then listen to this. "You believe that there is one God." Good! Even the demons believe that and shudder. Wow. What is James saying there? I mean, I think he's saying a number of things. One thing he's saying is what counts is faith expressing itself through action. But isn't it interesting? He says, listen, It's not enough just to believe the right things. Even the demons know that there is one God. Do they have good theology? Well, no, good theology is doing something about that, expressing that through our lives lived out moment by moment, every day, in the real mundane ordinariness of the lives that we live. And this is such a big deal for me. Our theology needs to go somewhere. It needs to do something. It needs to provoke us to action, provoke us to act. And, you know, when I was planting a church, I was also studying the book of Acts a lot. And I said, everything that I'm studying, I'm going to try in my church plant. Poor church. It was exciting. It was an adventure for sure. But I was so determined that what I was studying didn't just become mere concept and academic theory. It needed to translate into my life. And that is one of our core values, certainly in the Leeds School of Theology, is where is it going? What are we doing with it? Really, really important. Okay, just a couple more thoughts. Theology is analytical by nature, but it shouldn't be inherently critical or fault-finding. And this is a big thing. I think oftentimes people start to study theology, and you know what they start to do? Just point fingers. They get this weird critical spirit, like, oh, you're wrong, and you're wrong, and you're wrong, and this is how, and I'm right. And actually, that critical, edgy attitude quenches the Holy Spirit, quenches the very person we're supposed to be learning about. And so it's so important that we approach this in a humble, loving, gracious kind of way. The gospel is about reconciliation and not division, and it grieves me to see the church so divided around so many issues today. One of the unique things about our Saturdays in the Leeds School of Theology is we get Christians from different churches, different denominations, coming together around a core truth of Jesus. And so we talk about fundamentals of the faith that we can agree on, and then learning how to disagree in honoring honest but humble ways. It's not even so much about what you think at the end of the day, but about the heart with which you come at it. And we've got to learn about this kind of humble, gracious, honoring way, even if disagreeing. And you can feel so passionate and strong about your opinion and your belief and your conviction, and that's great. But the spirit that we come at that with matters in healthy theology. We've got to have a humble, gracious, honoring heart, even to people with whom we disagree. And I bet I could find things that all of you disagree with one another about. But that's okay. That's the body of Christ. That's the church. We've got to, it's about the heart attitude that we have about it. So important. Number 8, healthy theology is done in the context of the church. As the gathered body of Christ in a location. I'm a big local church person. I believe in the power of community. And you know what I've seen? People who get isolated, their theology gets funny. There's something about the safety of this community, of the local church, of gathered bodies of believers together, where we're kind of rubbing against each other, and we're running things by each other, and we're learning from one another. And if it starts to get a bit weird, we have people that can say, whoa, wait a minute, come, you know, let's talk about this. It's very important that we don't get isolated. And so certainly all of our students, we point them back to their churches and their communities as their primary place of working this stuff out. And I just want to say, if you feel that you're isolated today, this is a community where you can belong and where you can engage with God and with healthy theology. And it's so important that that is our priority. In Hebrews, it talks about, let us not give up meeting together. Let us spur one another on towards love and good deeds, encouraging one another. All these things are so important. Number 9, theology is never static. Theology is an ever-developing progression, both in the life of the theologian and in the churches and movements they are a part of. And it's normal for things to change over time. It's so funny. I meet some people who say, yeah, I've got my theology all worked out. You know, I know exactly what I believe, and I will believe that for the rest of my life. And I kind of go, yeah, right. If that's true, you've gotten massively stuck. Because actually, I'm not talking about the core fundamental issues of faith, but as we grow in God, we're all on this journey. It's like Philippians talks about, he's carrying the good work he started to completion, but it's not until the day of Christ Jesus. It's we are a work in progress, and our theology is a work in progress. And I like to say to people, it's okay to grow and develop in how we think and in how we believe. It's part of growing up and maturing. And you know, I thought when I graduated from uni that I had it all figured out. I had it all nailed. And actually, it's been so humbling for me to revisit some of that and go, wow, I'm still on a beautiful, challenging adventure with God. If you're still thinking the exact same way you were 10 years ago, you might be stuck. Growth is a part of life. It's so important. Last point. I think we're going to make it. Healthy theology is all about learning how to think theologically more than learning what to think. One of our goals is certainly to teach people how to think and not to just prescriptively say, boom, 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 here are the things you need to believe. This is what you need to think. It's important for you as a follower of Jesus to learn how to think for yourself, to learn to have a conviction that you hold strongly to. It's that whole thing about teaching a man to fish versus giving a man a fish. If you learn how to think theologically for yourself, that is a tool that you can practice and employ and sharpen for the rest of your life. And then it means you can negotiate all of the things that come your way. You know, today there are so many big questions, big controversies, big debates going on. How do we approach those? One of the things that gives me the greatest joy is when I see students who actually, they start to read a book and they go, you know, I'm not sure if I agree with that fully. And they actually have the confidence to have their own opinion on things. That is vital. Proverbs talks about as a man thinks within himself, so is he. How we think determines who we are. It's so important. And my goal and my prayer for all of you is that you will develop a way of thinking theologically as a focus and as a priority, even more than all the details of what you think, because those things will fall into place as we learn how to engage with God and Scripture in theology. Okay, so those are my top 10. Believe it or not, I had 20 I started with. I shaved 10 off, so you're welcome for that. Yeah, I was thinking about giving a few freebies, but I don't think I'm going to. That is some good stuff I hope for you to process and to chew on and to think about. But let's have a little time now to respond. And I really do want to ask you, what is God saying to you today? And what is God highlighting for you today in your own life and in your own journey? For some of you, it might be, I want to do the Leeds School of Theology. That's great. Do it. We'd love to have you join us. Please join in. But I was thinking this morning as I drove up from Sheffield about a couple of specific things I felt the Holy Spirit was saying. One was that I think there are many people here that are struggling with the whole mystery and wrestling part of it that I talked about. And maybe you have felt, I'm not safe to do that, or it's not safe to do that, and so I don't know what to do with all my questions. And I just feel the Lord saying, embrace those things, but go to him with them rather than away. It's okay. In fact, it's healthy. It's part of your growing. If you've felt confused or overwhelmed or stressed, struggling, let God meet you in those places and don't pull away from it. And then find safe places, ask him for safe relationships where you can wrestle honestly, but still come to Jesus. And then perhaps there are a few people here that have been hurt by that critical spirit that I was talking about. Or maybe you recognize it in yourself and you need to repent. and ask God for help. I'm going to pray, and then David, if you'd come up and just help us respond. But let's just take a moment, and you listen to the Holy Spirit for you, and I want to pray that God speaks to each one of us, and that we all leave here with something to take away. Spirit of God, thank you that you love your people. You love this church. And each one of us, you know where we are. Thank you, Jesus, that you are perfect theology, that you are the exact image and representation of God. And as we've thought this morning about what is healthy theology, as we've thought this morning about having substance and weight below the waterline, developing and strengthening in our theology. God, I just pray that you would speak clearly to each one of us about how we can respond today. Lord, if there's places of hurt in some of these areas that I've talked about, we ask for your healing. If there's places where we just need a safe space to process and be very raw and real, lead us to that. I pray for every one of us, we would engage with this call to a more robust theology, a more robust theology that leads us closer to you. I just speak your blessing over this church, this community, and every person who's here to respond to your voice today.